Going to look this evening again at Romans 8 and especially verses 10 and 11, which read, at least verse 10, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. This is Brian Johnson. He's a tech billionaire. He's 45 years old. And he is presently spending $2 million a year to reverse the aging process in his life. He's working with a team of doctors, dietitians, physicians, and high tech, using various devices in his body and on his body to try and not just stop the aging process, but reverse it. And in 2 years, the past 2 years, his doctors believe that they have managed to reverse his age 5 years. He is now apparently, he's got the heart of a 37-year-old. He's got the skin of a 28-year-old. And the lung capacity of an 18-year-old. And his plan is to keep working at this. This is his job. This is his everyday life. He's putting his hope in high tech to give him life, to stop dying and increase living and longevity. High tech is his hope. This is Peter Thiel, another high-tech billionaire, one of the founders of Facebook, PayPal, various other well-known tech industries. And he too, like other tech billionaires there, he also is trying to extend his life, but in a different way. He has invested his money in cryogenics. Cryogenics is the science of freezing the human body in specially made refrigerators run by a company called Alcor. They're frozen at negative 196 degrees centigrade. And the hope is that these bodies will be frozen, and eventually, when the technology allows, that they will be able to revive them and return them to the human race and reintegrate them and reintroduce them to society. This is a bit of a cheaper option. It's only $200,000 if you're interested. If you only want your brain preserved, that's $80,000. And that's actually where Elon Musk is putting his hope. He actually doesn't want to live forever. But he does want his brain to benefit other people. So he's invested in Neuralink, which is a technology that eventually they hope will be able to download a person's mind and then, of course, upload it into another mind. And although he doesn't want his body to last forever, in this way he's hoping that his brain will last forever. So you can see these high-tech captains, these titans of technology, all of them seem to want this longer life, this extended life, and they're putting their hopes in high-tech to do so. Our question, though, is this: what's the Christian hope? What's the Christian hope of greater life here and of greater life hereafter? Because we want both, don't we? We want more life here, and we want more life hereafter. We want our lives here to be better and longer, and we want our lives after here to be the best life possible. And what Paul tells us here in Romans 8, 9 through 11, is that our hope is not high tech, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the hope of the Christian for a greater life here and hereafter. And this chapter, as we've been seeing, tells us so much about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. We saw in the first few verses that the Holy Spirit transforms our conscience from one of condemnation to no condemnation. And the Spirit brings that sentence, that no condemnation sentence, into our hearts, giving us life. And then the last thing, we saw how the Holy Spirit transforms our minds. And here this evening, the Holy Spirit transforms our bodies. The Holy Spirit has a transformative impact on our bodies. So how do we get this greater life here in this dying world? Paul says, first of all, the Holy Spirit gives life while we die. The Holy Spirit gives life while we are dying. Look at verse 10. It says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin. So here's Paul's first statement. The body is dead because of sin. That does not mean, of course, that the body is already fully dead. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We'd all be dead. This is using death in the same way it was used at first in Genesis 2 and 3, where God said, in the day you eat, you shall surely die. And of course, they didn't drop dead, lifeless. But what happened was death began. They began to die in a way they never had before. Death entered their bodies. Death sowed its seeds. Death began. Adam and Eve entered under the sentence of death. They were subject to death and dying. They were living now in the realm of death. And that's what Paul is saying about each one of us, that we are just like Adam and Eve. The moment we have a body, we have a dying body. The body is dead, and it's because of sin. We too incur the consequences of that sentence that Adam and Eve first experienced. We too have it in our own lives. We are subject to death. We live in the realm of death. We are condemned to death. We're in the process of dying. It's like, you know, we say of somebody who's condemned on death row, they're a dead man walking. They're still alive, but they're dying and will soon be completely dead. There's a deadness in our bodies. This is what Paul is saying. This is what this is. This is what your body is. It is dead because of sin. There's a deadness in it because of sin. And that's true no matter how young we are, how old we are, how healthy we are, unhealthy we are, how strong we are, how weak we are. It doesn't matter. If you have a body, it's dead because of sin. And even you look at a little baby as it's born, and it looks so full of life, and you can't see any signs of death, perhaps. And that might go through all of childhood, and even into the prime of life. And you might think, well, that person's just getting stronger and stronger and healthier and more vigorous. But eventually, these seeds that were sown do begin to grow. The seeds were there all along. There was death there from the beginning. So the body is dead because of sin. But here's our hope. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life. This is the amazing experience, the amazing fact that's true of every Christian. As he says here in verse 9, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. We have, as Christians, we have Christ in us. Every single Christian not only has the seed of death, but the Spirit of God, and therefore through that, the Lord Jesus living inside of us. Sometimes we just don't see that, do we? We don't think in it. We don't look in the mirror and say, there is someone that Christ is living in. We see the death, we see the dying, but we don't see the life. It takes faith, doesn't it? We don't yet have a mirror that shows the Holy Spirit or any spiritual things. We never will. We need faith. And what we're told here is every time we look in the mirror, every time we feel these aches and pains, every time disease takes hold, every time our brains malfunction, every time we experience mental illness, that's, yes, death in the body, but the Spirit is also there, giving life. Now, this does not mean that the Spirit stops our dying. Okay, so here we've got a person. They're not a Christian. Their body is dead because of sin. The Holy Spirit comes into their lives when they believe. It does not make them one day younger. It doesn't reverse their bodily death. It doesn't rewind the aging process. When it says the Spirit is life, it does not mean that we're going to accomplish some kind of eternal youth in this world. What it does mean is not that it replaces death, but that the Spirit now is living alongside death. It's a supplement. It's an addition to our lives. Death is still there. The body is still dead, but there's something different in that body now. There's not just deadness, there's aliveness. There's not just a weakening, there's a strengthening. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's a new dimension of life that's added alongside the dying. And so this believer now has a dual experience, a double experience. There's an ongoing dying, for sure, but alongside that, right alongside it, there is an increased living, an increased aliveness. The believer is living in two spheres, in death and life, two realms, dying and living. How can that be? Well, we're told how. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. That doesn't mean that this is a person that's gone out and started living rightly and doing all the right things and obeying God's law, and because of that, the Spirit comes into this person's life. No, that's impossible. Paul's explained to us already time and again in Romans how we be declared righteous, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we believe in Him, His righteousness, His right living is legally credited to us. And as soon as God sees that, He sees this person now uncondemned, completely justified, He says, that Spirit, my Spirit, can go and live there. The Holy Spirit will never live in a condemned soul, in a place of total death. No, He comes to a believing soul with life. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, we're dying. How do we use that dyingness? Well, surely we use it to hate sin. When we feel that death, when we see that death, when our hair's falling out and our eyes are failing and we're not hearing as well as we used to, and our teeth start falling out, And our muscles start getting smaller. And our strength begins to fade. We start getting heart pains and lung pain and stomach pain. Arthritis in our joints. Skin begins to look like paper. Our minds just don't have the capacity to remember or learn as we used to. experienced times of depression and anxiety and all kinds of mental disturbance. We are affected by this death. Every single one of these death pangs should make us hate sin. The body is dead because of sin. Use these pains then for good, to bring you to repentance and hatred of sin. But the Holy Spirit is our living ally in our fight against sin and its consequences. So, you know, we hear a lot today about people say, well, I was born this way. Whether it's some kind of same-sex attraction, whether it's an addiction or an addictive personality, it might be an anger issue, it might be some kind of mental or physical disability. That may be true. That may be true. We're born with a dead, dying body that's got death sown throughout. So, yes, our sense of identity is all warped at times. Some people have a sexuality that is unbalanced, improper. Others, yes, they do struggle more than others with desires for drink and drugs. And yes, there are some that seems almost to run in the genes to be more angry, more bad-tempered. This is part of our deadness. Some of us have a tendency to greater anxiety, some to greater depression. Whatever we are born with may be a fact, may be a reality. Yes, the body is dead because of sin, but for the Christian, it doesn't end there, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And therefore, the Spirit comes alongside us as we fight our anxiety, our depression, our addiction, our same-sex attraction, our gender dysphoria, whatever that part of deadness is that is a particular temptation and trial for us. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us and says, I'm life. I give you the strength. I give you the power. I fight with you and I fight against this death with you. We're not left to this alone. So we have this perfect balance here of admitting, confessing the reality of death because of sin and all the twists and cracks it puts in us. But while admitting that, it doesn't leave it as an excuse, because it points us here. This verse points us to the life-giving Spirit to fight alongside us as long as it takes to balance out this death, to overcome this death, to conquer this death that is sown in the fabric of our being. So we find life in spirituality, not technology, or in spiritology rather than technology. That's our hope. The Spirit gives life while we die. What about life after death? Well, Paul goes on to speak of that, and he says the Spirit gives life after we die. So, as dying continues, life continues, but there comes a point at which the full effects of death are going to be felt. That sentence of death, these seeds of death, are going to bring us to total death. What then? Well, the Spirit gives life after we die, as we see in verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. He points us here to the dead body of Jesus, completely, totally, utterly dead, without a heartbeat, without a pulse, unquestionably dead. As dead could be. And the Spirit of life enters and raises this dead body and fills it with life. A life that will never end. A life that will never be affected by death again. As that life is ascended into heaven. So, he says, just as that Spirit raised this precious body from the dead, the precious body of Christ, so this Spirit will come to your body, your mortal body, your body of death, and in the same way, breathe life into your body. The same Spirit will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. But I want you to notice a word here. It's a little word, very important word. The beginning of verse 11, if. You see it? If. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It's a little word, but it's a massive word. It's an if. It's not a certainty for everyone. It's only for those who have the Spirit here in this world. For those who have the Spirit to fight against death here. If we have that Spirit, then we have that hope of life after death. If we never have the Holy Spirit here, we have nothing to look forward to. We are dead here, and that eternal death continues. But if we have this Spirit, then on the last day of world history and the first day of eternal history, the Spirit's presence will enter our bodies, wherever they are, wherever dust or ashes are scattered or gathered, and breathe into these millions of pieces of microscopic human remains. And as it's put here, will give life to your mortal bodies. These mortal bodies, these weak, ugly, deformed, pained, diseased, these dying bodies, these mortal bodies, these same bodies will have life coursing through them. Death will be swallowed up by life. Mortality will give way to immortality. What a great prospect. So what are we looking forward to here after death? Well, after death, our present Spirit, the Holy Spirit who presently dwells in us, will be replaced, or shouldn't say replaced, will be expanded with an even greater fullness of the Spirit. But we have some life here by the Holy Spirit's power. We have some. We do experience this livingness amongst our deadness, here, below, here, and now. But then we will experience at death a resurrection of the soul. It's although there's life here, there will be so much life after death that we'll look back on this place of so-called life and say, I was actually dying. That was dying. This is living. It's as if I've never lived before. The saint that goes from earth to heaven, leaving behind their mortal bodies, goes into heaven with their soul immediately perfected, immediately glorified, immediately filled beyond measure with the Spirit, and living life in an unparalleled, indescribable way. We will not just continue as we are in life, but the highest experience of life here will be zero compared to what is ahead. If we have the Holy Spirit of life here, we will have that great Spirit of life and we'll live as never we've lived before. So our present Spirit will have added Spirit. and our present body will be replaced with a great future body. He will give life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Glad for His work here, giving us life amidst death, being our ally in fighting our deadness and our dyingness? Are you grateful for that? That better life, greater life, deeper life here below? So much so that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, though this outer person, this outer flesh get weaker and weaker, the inner person is growing stronger and stronger by the Spirit. That's an amazing prospect for the Christian. For the non-Christian, you get, well, middle age, 40, 50, I don't know where the turning point is, but it's just downhill all the way, isn't it? Because all that there is a body and a soul. There's no spiritual life. But for the Christian, yeah, we go downhill physically for sure, but we're going up, up, up. The inner person being renewed, reinvigorated, re-empowered day by day. And then in heaven, the Holy Spirit gathers our body and breathes. Wherever our bodies will be buried or stored or scattered, the believers' bodies are precious to the Lord. He redeemed them. And He takes them and He recreates and He reforms and He reshapes with the breath of His mouth. What a moment that will be. Can you imagine? How many believers have there been in world history? Millions. Millions. And the Holy Spirit is going to blow life. And these bodies, these remains are going to rise with immeasurable spiritual life, immeasurable physical life, immeasurable emotional life, immeasurable intellectual life, immeasurable relational life, vocational life, life in all its fullness, all from this one divine being, the Holy Spirit of God. Let's praise the Holy Spirit for His work already begun and that will begin in heaven. Our mortal bodies are miraculous bodies. They're places of an existing, ongoing, present miracle of life in the midst of death. And they will be places of even greater miracles in the world to come. So, what's the Christian hope of greater life here and hereafter? It's not high tech, is it? It's the Holy Spirit. Therefore, hope in the Holy Spirit alone for greater life here and eternal life hereafter. This is our only hope, and it's a great hope. There's not a hope so, it's a very certain hope. So if you're young here tonight and you're still in that indestructible, impregnable phase, you can't ever imagine yourself feeling weak or tired. You're just strong and vigorous and healthy. God's word says you're dying. And you have to face that reality and be aware that you need life more than what you have naturally. You need spiritual life. You need the Holy Spirit to breathe into you and occupy you and bring Christ into the soul. If you're sick, diseased, weak, on medication, every time you go to the doctors, the hospital, the clinic, the counselor, every time you take the pill, the tablet, the med, the drug, these should be times of remembering, this is because I'm dying, and this is because of sin. and therefore I hate sin, my sin. But if you're tempted, when you face that temptation and you're tempted to say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just how I was made. This is in my genes. This is how I was born. It's not a sufficient excuse when all the resources of heaven are at your disposal to fight this temptation and to overcome it. Seniors, you're physically tired. You're weary. You're sore. You saints, you don't need to read, the body is dead because of sin. You know it. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. A declining, weakening outer person can coexist, can be at the same time as a growing, enlivening inner spirit. And that's the most beautiful thing to see in a senior, isn't it? That although they're weakening physically, yet they are fulfilling this. The Holy Spirit is clearly at work here, causing them to shine and keep serving and keep worshiping and being useful in the capacity they have. And then let's think up. Let's go to the saints in heaven in our minds and think of our loved ones there already and see them as they're enjoying the spirit of life a gazillion times more than they did here. The energy levels, the happiness levels, the satisfaction levels, the contentment, they're just out of this world. And looking ahead to having a body to experience that as well. This is what the Holy Spirit offers in the gospel. Shall we not pray, Spirit of God, breathe in me? Let's pray. Spirit of life, breathe life into our spirits and our bodies, so that we can enjoy greater life here and longer life hereafter. In Jesus' name, amen.